This is Carl Johnson with another back page essay. A few years ago, a brother was making the closing announcements at the end of a gospel meeting I had conducted at his small congregation, and invoking the words of the Apostle Paul, he said, "Carl knows how to condescend to those of low estate because his family was very poor when he was growing up." If he meant by that that I have a natural rapport with poor folks because I know what it's like to be poor, he was right on target. Unfortunately, the word condescend has acquired a negative connotation in modern times. Webster's New College Dictionary says that it means to agree to do something one considers to be beneath one's rank or dignity, to deal with or treat people in a superior or patronizing way. And obviously, this meaning is not what Paul had in mind when he told the Romans in Romans 12 and verse 16, "Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate." The word condescend is more properly translated, associate with. The word literally means to be led along or carried away with someone or something. The thought here is to go along with, to be at home with, to associate comfortably with lowly people and lowly tasks. The essence of Paul's teaching is beautifully illustrated in an episode in F.D. Shrigley's book, 70 Years in Dixie. This book chronicles anecdotes from the life of Civil War-era preacher T.W. Caskey. Caskey's mother died while giving birth to him, and he was reared by a black woman who was one of his grandfather's slaves. The 45-year-old woman took charge of Caskey immediately and even nursed him from her own breast. She was an even-tempered, child-loving soul with an inexhaustible supply of songs, stories, traditions, and superstitions with which to entertain and amuse her young charge. She lived in a cabin near the family residence and devoted her time to the child. The relationship became both intimate and affectionate. Caskey says, "I don't believe that she ever saw the day from the time that I was placed in her swarthy arms as a newborn that she would not have laid down her life for me. She spent many sleepless nights ministering to his every need." When Caskey was old enough to take care of himself, he moved into town and became an apprentice blacksmith. During that period, he visited his old home in the country only twice a month, but he made a point to spend his Sundays with his surrogate mother. Those visits to her lowly and lonely cabin were great feast days that included apples, cakes, homemade candy, and other delicacies she knew he loved. The best part of the visits for Caskey, however, was the tender companionship of a loving mother. Caskey says, "I loved her better than any other person or thing in the whole world, and she loved me as devotedly as I loved her." The last time Caskey saw her before she died was at a church service on a visit back home. On this particular visit, however, Caskey was accompanied by an attractive, well-educated lady whom he was courting. Upon seeing them approach the church building, Caskey's surrogate mother ran to meet him, hugged his neck, squeezed him tightly, and with motherly affection kissed him on both cheeks. Caskey's response to her on that occasion was one that would haunt him for the rest of his life, a period of over 50 years. He did not return his surrogate mother's affectionate greeting. He acted indifferent toward her. He was embarrassed and ashamed to be hugged and kissed by an elderly black woman in the presence of his young lady friend. Later, Caskey deeply regretted the shameful way he treated this noble woman, and he said, "I wept bitter tears when I stood by her humble grave and thought of all of her love and devotion, and then remembered that cowardly blush of shame at her kiss of love the last time that we ever met on the storm-swept shore of time. It was there that Caskey solemnly vowed to cherish her memory, to imitate her love and labors for the motherless and homeless, and to labor and pray earnestly for the elimination of the sufferings of her downtrodden race." Caskey learned a painful lesson, still being taught by the example of Christ today. It is only because Jesus was willing to associate with lowly people and participate in lowly tasks that you and I have a hope of heaven today, Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. God seems to have always favored the lowly, and we are therefore admonished to cultivate that same lowliness of mind, Philippians 2 and verse 3. The mind of Christ knows that saintliness has nothing to do with rank, wealth, or birth, and therefore it eliminates all forms of pride and snobbery. Caskey learned this lesson the hard way, but he eventually learned his lesson well. May God help us to do the same.